Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, how you doing?
Pretty good. So I hope I remember how to do everything right. I was off a week. Okay.
Never take time off.
Went to my grandson's birthday
party. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's good. You got to take some time off occasionally. Well, welcome to The Drift. And what we do every Saturday is go over the news that we put on the dailydrift.com. It's...
Oh, it's the news you need to know.
Yeah, see, you picked it up. Okay, so plenty to do, but before we get into and discuss, because we do have Congressman Tim allegedly calling in, second half of the show, let's take care of a little business. If you have some auto repair that you need done, call Smart Auto Repair. Sid is a great guy, good mechanic, and just an all-around nice guy. And you can reach him at 810-231-9655, or you can email smartauto@hotmail.com and talk to them about getting some work done if you got something done on a car. It's not worth doing yourself.
What I was impressed with, I was talking to Sid a couple days ago, and he had a customer in there ahead of me, a young lady, and she said, well, should I have this done? Should I have that done? He says, no, that will be fine. Don't worry about it right now. If it keeps doing that and I think it'll go away, then bring it back and we'll talk about it. Now, is that pressure salesmanship, or is that a guy who's looking out for your best interest?
Yeah, it's refreshing.
That's you don't who you want to talk to.
Very often. Yep. Yeah, he's an honest guy. So 810-231-9655, that's Sid out at Smart Auto Repair. Hall Road, right there in Whitmore Lake, Hamburg area.
Right off M36.
It's right off
right
of
on
M36.
So he's back off the road. You got to look for that truck on the street that points down to his shop.
Yeah. He also has towing, and he'll haul junk cars for free. So if you got an old car hanging around, he'll come get it and take it off your hands. 810-231-9655. Kentucky Derby Day. Derek, what time does the Kentucky Derby run today?
It's around 6 o'clock. I'm not sure of the exact time.
But I might be able to get to the bar and watch it.
You have a favorite?
I haven't really paid any attention.
I don't know who's running.
But I like
this
to
year.
Have a drink on Derby Day. Most of the time, I miss it.
Is that it?
Yeah, something.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't have a hat. Well, I do have hats, as you well know. We both wear hats.
Yes.
But nothing fancy that I would wear like that. So, well, let's start with some good news. The economy's rocking, right?
Rocking. You know. Oh, but I'm sorry. Like Hillary said the other day. But it's not doing anything for the poor people. Oh, Biden said the same thing.
Oh, and Pelosi said the same thing, too.
Yeah, exactly. They both said it. But, you know, that's only affecting the rich people.
Yeah.
Except for all the people who got what lately?
Tax
jobs?
Refunds.
Oh, tax.
And jobs,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got my first tax refund in over a decade this year.
Congratulations.
And I got more money
back. But you're
back
incredibly wealthy, though. That's the ticket. You're incredibly wealthy.
I am far
wealthy.
From incredibly wealthy, I can assure you. I'm one of those people barely making it.
But, you know, these people are so out of touch. They don't know anybody who's unemployed and recently employed or looking for jobs.
Yeah.
And look at the unemployment. What were they broadcasting? You got the facts there.
Yeah. They were saying we were supposed to have maybe 185,000 new jobs for April. 263,000 new jobs for April.
Yeah.
That's a huge, we're on fire.
And this isn't some phony baloney housing balloon bubble of an economy. This is people building stuff and going back to work.
Yep. 3.6% unemployment rate. It's the lowest unemployment rate for women since 1953. 1953. Can
that would
you imagine
be 65
that?
Years ago. I know that for a fact. You know how I know it's 65 years ago?
Is your birthday?
Yeah.
Wait, women, if you don't vote for Donald Trump, there's something wrong with you. You're not using your brains because you know what? The Trump economy is working for women. It's the best Hispanic, lowest unemployment rate for Hispanics since 1969. So it's working. And even Neil Cavuto said today, say what you want. This president is doing something right. Yes, he is.
Did he offend you with his tweet? Did he get you a job?
Okay. Right? Now, come on. Just if you don't like Donald Trump, you don't like his tweets, whatever, he's doing what needs to be done. Deregulating, promoting best confidence in the economy in decades. Mm-hmm. It's working. So, folks, come 2020, which will be here before you know it, do what's better for you. Vote Republican. Because the Democrats want to shut all this down, give your money away, raise your taxes, and have open borders. Really? You want that?
Take you back to Obama stagnation.
That's Biden.
That's Biden. Let's face it. You go with Biden, you got Obama years again. You may think that was golden, being on unemployment and social services and getting your government cheese, and that was fine. You could sit home and watch daytime TV all the time. Or maybe you'd prefer working.
Yeah. There was a guy by the name of Peter. He's the one that always wears a bow tie, talking yesterday morning, I think, on Fox News. And he was saying, touting the good economy when these figures came out. And the one thing he said, he goes, inflation is not something to worry about right now. And oddly enough, number of people filling jobs is not a problem either, because so many people are coming back off of unemployment or off of not working or looking for work. They're now coming back that there's not a problem. There's obviously people looking for work and jobs that are going unfulfilled due to abilities, right? Well, but he said it's robust enough that people are coming back into the economy to fill these jobs, and companies are spending money on infrastructure to train these people and get them. So they're not the crap jobs of the past.
I didn't know how that worked, people coming back in, but I work with a guy, and he's been off for 13 years on disability, and he's come back to work now.
Because the money was there?
It's got to be something to do with the jobs are there, the money's there. It's just all of a sudden there's this motivation for him to come back to work.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Let's take a call from Joe in Wyandotte, wants to talk about Trump 2020. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Well, for those who don't know me well, don't follow me on Facebook or Twitter, I have to preface my remarks by saying I did not vote Trump in 2016.
You didn't?
Nope. I didn't. I left the POTUS empty.
Hey, everybody does something stupid once in a while,
I was pretty clear after the primaries and before the election where I stood. I, unlike many, can admit when I'm wrong, and thank God I was wrong about Trump, and he's turned out to be fantastic.
Why not?
Well, there are still certain things that I don't agree with.
Doesn't matter.
And then I will say so when I don't. But I will stand up for him and defend him when he is wrongfully attacked on things, too. I don't like his character, for one, personally. He's a serial adulterer and, cheated many business partners or whatever. But that, the thing about attacking the reporter's disability, baloney, false, complete manure, absolute spin. You can see videos of how he's done that gesture about many people and, other things like that.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to attack his character. Well, if you're right, I'll agree with you. If you're wrong, I won't. But I'm fully on board for 2020. How can anyone not be unless they completely suffer Trump derangement syndrome?
I want to say something about the character issue, okay? There are a number of people who believe that Trump has become a born-again Christian since he came into office. And I got to tell you, and I said this on Facebook recently, you may have caught it, is that I was once a drug dealer, I was once an adulterer, a fornicator, and I'm not anymore. That's not me. If you knew me back then, you'd have thought, what a creep. You may think that now, but I'm not that guy. And I don't think Trump is that guy anymore. No.
And I can vouch for you. You are one of the good guys. I 100%
agree with you. But I do agree, and I think it's important to point out that I think that transformation came later. If you'd have told me in the primary or when he first got elected, the nonsense about, God sometimes takes imperfect people and makes use of them for good purposes. But I'll accept that notion now because I do agree. I think he saw the light after that, and he has surrounded himself mostly mostly with good people that have helped him and discovered the right side of life.
Well, that's good. All right, so you're on board for 2020. Good job, Joe.
Oh, good to hear.
Absolutely. And again, I mean, how these... I would have been happy to say I was a never-Trumper during the primary, but how can anyone claim to be a never-Trumper now? What are they resisting?
A few of them. Few of those never-Trumpers.
All the indicators are up. All the unemployment indicators are down. The economy is booming. And one issue I have with them are the trade wars things. If he would clean that up and clear that up, we would get out of... Trump has returned the economy to a good normal. We could go into an actual economic boom if he gets all that crap cleared up.
Yeah, I think we are in that boom already, but maybe it could get better.
Great points, Joe. I appreciate it, man.
Well, take care, my friends. God bless and love you. And, I wanted to make sure people understood that I...
Oh, shoot.
Bye, Joe.
I've never
hung up on Joe inadvertently. Sorry. Oh wait, sorry. Yes, I have.
Sorry, Joe. I my finger slipped. Uh-huh. Doggone it!
Nothing personal.
Anyways, I don't think I've ever done that. Actually,
I did. Did you? On Joe.
Sorry, Derek. Call Joe back and tell him I'm sorry. Anyways, well, thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. I'm glad to see that he's on board for 2020. But we want to move on real quick because we got Congressman Tim coming about the deep state coup and what the Democrats are trying to do to continue this. And I want to start with the Papadopoulos track. Derek, you got that one ready? This is George Papadopoulos, who was, some people say, the beginning of the deep state coup. And he's saying it really started even before him. So you got that track? Go ahead and play it.
How do you feel personally about people like Representative Adam Schiff and Representative Swalwell and Ted Lieu and all these folks who were out there screaming like treason and collusion?
I think it's a power grab. I think they're putting their own personal interests ahead of the country, and that's sad, especially from sitting members of Congress. It's sad if the media does it, but when an elected official does it, you're meant to represent the people. And if you're putting your own personal vendetta or agenda ahead of the country, when you yourself are privy to these classified documents, which obviously showed no collusion, because Bob Mueller himself said there was no collusion, yet you're going public and telling the world that Donald Trump's a Russian asset, that George Papadopoulos is a Russian asset, that his, his team was corrupted, that Paul Manafort was seeking to undermine U.S. democracy by...
Okay, so the news came out this week, the FBI, mm-hmm. New York Times even admitted that the FBI sent this lady, Azra Turk?
Yeah, Azra Turk.
Azra Turk.
Which gave Papadopoulos the thinking that she was of Turkish origin, which he struck him odd because he's written so much that was, or done so much in his position that was adverse to the Turks. So he wondered where this was coming from. Yeah. And then she starts coming on to him all flirty and everything. And he says, hey, this isn't, there's something weird here.
And she worked for the FBI, like Stephen Halpern, right?
FBI isn't even supposed to work overseas, except for certain cases, like it went to see, investigate certain crimes at the behest of other countries, like the Khobar Towers and a few other instances. But there, the CIA does clandestine work overseas. That's their charter. They're not supposed to operate in the United States in the CONUS. And, the FBI has got CONUS, and that's wrong. Yeah. It's one of the many wrong things.
So to me, it smacks of entrapment, right?
Yeah.
If the FBI was so worried that the Russians were trying to get in, should they not be warning all the candidates, hey, be on the lookout. You've got Russian assets trying to co-opt the election, and they may approach you. And they didn't do that. Instead, they set people in the Trump campaign up.
Yeah.
Set them up.
Yeah.
That's called entrapment, folks. Mm-hmm. And who in the FBI made those decisions? Or does it go beyond the FBI, DOJ, or right to the old White House?
Well, I told you about that Bill Bennett podcast. I've got a couple clips here.
Do you have that?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Let's play it.
All right. Let's go with the Admiral Rogers, Joe DeGenova.
You got that one, Derek?
Michael Horowitz is the Inspector General.
That's not the one.
The Department of Justice.
That's a good one. I wanted to play that too, but there's the one that has Admiral about Admiral Rogers and Joe DiGenova. Did you see that?
No. Just play that okay. one. We're good.
Play the Horowitz one then.
Michael Horowitz is the Inspector General of the Department of Justice. He's going to issue a report. You have any idea what's going to happen in there?
Well, he's going to issue a report that everyone has been anticipating at the end of May or the beginning of June, which is about the FISA court abuses during the Obama administration. I expect the report to be what can only be described as blistering. It will be an indictment, not literally legally, although it will refer people for indictment. It will be a blistering indictment of the stewardship of the Obama administration, FBI, and Department of Justice of their relationship with the FISA court. And the reason is we know this as a matter of fact because it is a little known public fact that on April 26, 2017, the FISA court itself issued a 98-page order in which it accused the Obama administration, DOJ, and FBI of 4 years of illegal spying on Americans. They accused the Obama Justice Department of a, quote, lack of institutional candor, quote, unquote, with the FISA court. That is to be read as, you lied to us, folks, and we don't like it. What happened was that the Obama people in 2012 started giving access to the National Security Agency's super secret databases about Americans' electronic communication. This is the most closely held and sensitive information that the National Security Agency holds. That information was given illegally to four private contractors. I have a pretty good idea who they are, but the court will announce who they are, or rather, Mr. Horowitz will announce who they are when he issues his report. It is believed that those people were then used to unmask a series of Americans, mostly government officials.
Okay.
So the FISA court itself is going to DOJ and accusing the Obama administration of misusing the FISA system for 4 years of spying. And they're clear about the Obama administration. And he goes on to point out in this interview, when this kind of stuff happens, and Joe DiGenova should know from his position, when you get into something like this, you don't make this at the secretary level, you make this at the president's level. You may try and distance yourself and hide your tracks. He goes on to say in another clip that I guess I didn't forward it to Derek clearly enough, but he goes on to say that Admiral Mike Rogers, a guy, what they call a complacency officer, so a compliance officer. These are just guys who are supposed to, are you following the rules? This guy comes up to Admiral Rogers, says, we have a little bit of a problem here, and I just like to do a little audit here. Admiral Rogers looks at it and says, oh no, this isn't a little audit. We're going to audit the whole thing. And so then Obama wants to fire Rogers, and he's being pressured to fire Rogers. And Obama comes back, like Genova says, to his credit, he did not fire Rogers, but the only reason he didn't was because then Rogers would have gone to the press and described all of it. And now it's coming out after all. Everything's coming out. Rogers is going to look like a real white knight here when it all comes out.
So is this all what's going to come out in Horowitz's report?
And Hoover's.
Hoover's report.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I'm hoping I'm not getting my hopes up. I pray that this is going to come out. Because you know what? We need justice. The American people need this.
Barr has signaled, clearly signaled. I remember the one night I was watching him, I turned to Sherry and I says, holy cow. It was just one or two words he said. And the next day, all the pundits were saying, wow, that one or two words he said signaled his intention.
Yeah.
So I caught it. It was very subtle. And since then, there's more and more people saying, Barr is offended by this. This personally offends him.
It should be. Each and every one of us as Americans should be offended.
Oh,
because
I am.
If they can do this to the president of the United States of America, what happens when the Democrats gain control again? They will make
Nazi Germany.
It will be all over every one of us. If they don't like what you say, that people like you and I on the radio, this station will be gone, folks. Yep. This station will be gone because if the Democrats ever get control again, they will put all of us in prison. And that's not fear-mongering. That's a fact.
They'll silence us.
They will silence us. This radio station will be gone if the Democrats get their way again. Because mm-hmm. they are doing this to the President of the United States. And I think one of the reasons, I heard it just before I left the House today, the reason they're demonizing Barr right now is because he is going to go
exactly.
after them.
Exactly.
And they want to be able to say, no, he's just coming after us as retribution.
Well, you heard Hillary say, he lied. Not Hillary, excuse me, Pelosi.
Pelosi
says, he lied, and yeah. that's a crime.
Yeah, there's no lies.
Did you see the video I posted on Facebook mm-hmm. of her saying that? I patched on the end of it a video of Clapper and Brenner sitting next to each other. These guys got away with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
She acts like, oh, Barr should go to jail for lying. How about every other Democrat who's been in front of Congress?
Yeah, absolutely. People need to know. Well, if you want to go motive, we got time to squeeze this in. I think this goes all the way to Obama. And I don't know that we'll ever see justice on Obama. But this is the motivation, I think, that made Obama go and know and start all of this. Derek, you got that track ready on Obama? Go ahead and play it.
Former President Obama viewed Hillary Clinton's 2016 loss to President Trump as a personal insult and a defeat to his own legacy, according to new updates to a 2017 book. New York Times correspondent Peter Baker updated his history of the Obama presidency in his book entitled Obama, The Call to History. Updates were published by the Daily Mail and detail how the president was overcome with anger in the days following Clinton's defeat by Trump, which Obama saw as a result of her inability to translate his policy successes into a winnable message. According to Fox News, Baker writes, quote, Obama may not have been on the ballot, but it was hard not to see the vote as a personal mm-hmm. insult, as he had called it on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
So, personal insult to him. I'll take question with Obama's successes, because any legislative and administrative successes of Obama were not successes for us, folks.
And they were administrative. They yeah. weren't legislative, yeah. Obamacare.
Any of these things that Obama put into place were destroying and were designed to destroy the United States of America. Plain and simple.
Our sovereignty.
And our sovereignty. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So
and Trump got rid of – Trump pulled us out of the small arms
NRA. Did you see that?
In the UN. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Absolutely. So it just goes to show you that Donald Trump is keeping his promises. And it doesn't get any more basic than that. I voted for him. I'm not always happy with his tweets, and there are sometimes I cringe.
Cringe, yes.
You know, I cringe, and I go, ooh, I wish he just hadn't said that. Ooh, that's just a little too much. But you know what? I'll take those problems because everything else is working for me.
Supreme Court justice.
Supreme Court justice. I want to know what's going on with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I would like to, really, other than the one photo.
It's devil worship keeps her alive. It's just plain satanic power. There's covens all over the country propping her up. You know, she's just like the living dead, motivated by satanic spirits.
Well, I mean, is she actually showing up at court for?
I believe she has.
She has.
I remember she did a couple months ago after the latest cancer thing.
Right.
And everybody was like thrilled about that.
Yeah. And I'm not wishing ill will on her.
No, just retire and enjoy what little life you have left, lady. Why die in office? Nobody on their deathbed says, gee, I wish I'd spend more time in the office.
In the office, right. Exactly. Well, it's just brutal. But I want to see justice. I don't know that we're going to get it. I hope William Barr is everything that he's looking like right now, but I don't want to get my hopes up. I've had my hopes dashed
exactly
so often.
So many people are like that. People commenting on stuff I've written and I've talked to, they say, oh, I don't think anything's happened, because we keep getting, you know, excited. Yeah. But this looks like it. And I got to tell you, as far as what didn't happen during the last 2 years, it's all worked out perfectly. I mean, if Trump had plotted it to work out this way by showing restraint about Mueller, okay?
Yeah.
You know, showing restraint, so much restraint that he showed during the last 2 years, now he's free to unload.
Yeah, absolutely. And he has.
Yes.
And he has. All right, folks, you're catching the drift. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Be always on the move, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep up with the latest in political talk? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels may take them. People tune to Wham! Radio for the latest issues discussed by hosts like Steve Gruber, Theron X, and Dana Lash. Call 734-971-1600 today. 1600 AM, 92.7 FM, Wham! Radio. We are American made.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. Help from the U.S. could soon be making its way to Venezuela as the Maduro regime continues to cling to power.
Some U.S. humanitarian help could actually be on the way in the coming days. A spokesperson for the U.S. Southern Command is telling Fox News that the military is considering sending a hospital Navy ship that's called the Comfort to South America off the coast of Colombia to aid Venezuelan refugees.
Fox's Ellison Barber along the Colombia-Venezuela border. It's Derby Day in Kentucky.
The winner of today's race will seek to pick up where Justify left off last year, becoming the 13th thoroughbred to take the Triple Crown. Justify's trainer Bob Baffert has three horses in the field, with Game Winner, Improbable, and Roadster. Also in the pack today for the Run for the Roses, Long Range Toddy, whose jockey John Court at 58 years old will make history as the oldest rider ever in a Kentucky Derby.
Fox's Matt Napolitano. This is Fox News.
Conservative Christians have been pushed around for too long. It's time to push back. Hi, I'm Jeff Noble, pastor of Four Winds Church in Northville. We are a new church that is dedicated to fighting against the escalating evil in America. At Four Winds, we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, the sanctity of all human life, both pre- and post-born, God's definition of traditional marriage, and the separation of church and state, but not the separation of God from government. Four Winds is not perfect, but our imperfections are probably just like yours. Do you want a church that teaches and preaches the whole Word of God and knows that Jesus is the only answer to man's problems? Then I invite you to check out Four Winds Church. We meet Sundays at the Marquee Theater located at 135 East Main Street in downtown Northville. Coffee and Donut Fellowship is at 10:30 and worship is at 11 a.m. We love children, so bring them and your Bible for the way church is supposed to be. Go to our website at fourwindslove.org. That's fourwindslove.org. It's time to push back, so I pray you'll join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. Thanks, and God bless.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing resort-like care facilities you've ever seen. Their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. And in their pursuit of excellence, WellBridge asks each guest to complete a customer satisfaction survey after their stay. To date, they've earned a satisfaction rate of 100%. Here are some of the comments received. This is my home away from home. This place is outstanding and everyone is super kind. I am beyond pleased with all the care I received. The staff is so passionate for what they do and it shows. This was my mother's third stay here and she always loves it. I've referred this place to many already. My stay has been fantastic. For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team. Learn more at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift in studio with Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Shh, I'm listening to music.
You like that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's take care of a little business. Gone with the Wind. If you're looking for a summer camp for your kids, Gone with the Wind has a camp running from June 10th to August 26th, 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. They've got AM care, PM care. You can reach them at 734-747-7422. That's 734-747-7422, or go like the wind.com. That's easy. Go like the wind.com. make sure you get your kids, keep them busy in the summertime.
And it's a great school, too. Think of enrolling your kids in a great school. Get your kids out of the public school system, you know, unless you go to, you know, Cheryl Stockwell, whatever you want to do with your kids. Pick one of the schools that advertise in the Current for one, but hey, this is great. I know the people involved in this. The guy that who leads the big band that I listen to, turns out he's involved with them.
Really?
Yeah, he's on their board.
Yeah, well, it's important to keep the kids
busy over the summer.
You know what I mean? Keep their brains active so they don't lose everything that they've learned over the course of the year. So keeping the kids busy through camp or schooling or whatever is important. So make sure you do that. 734-747-7422. It's golikethewind.com. All right.
Yep.
So on the phone, we've got, it's first of the month, we've got 7th District Congressman Tim Walberg. Congressman Tim, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you and keep my mind active as well.
Absolutely. And you need to, because the Democrats controlling the House is probably dumbing down a lot of people, isn't it?
I tell you what, it's hard to remain active because we've literally, and you can check the records out, it's not just my word, we've done nothing that has been significant. Or that would be any type of major legislation, including in a budget, since January 3rd when the Democrats took control of the House. We passed and we continue to pass posture legislation that puts us on record in voting against Mom Apple Pie and the girl next door. I suppose I shouldn't joke about that. That'll probably be used against me in my next campaign. But
it'll be the guy next door.
That's kind of what it's become. Knowing nothing will pass the Senate, nothing if it did would be signed by the President. Unlike us, we knew that we had a challenge in the Senate last term with the Democrats controlling cloture, but we knew that we did have a chance for a majority of senators to vote for it, and we had a majority in the White House to sign it. So it's a little different this year, and that's what's frustrating, but. Hey, the people voted, and we're going to try to prove that they should do another vote next time that's completely the opposite and put the Republicans back in charge of the House.
Yeah, because all we're getting is craziness from Adam Schiff, Nadler, and Pelosi, and
Waters.
Tim, give us an update on, so AG Barr told Nadler, basically, I'm not coming.
Right.
Can you fill us in on the details of how that went?
Well, you know, basically, so I'm delighted to come. I'll answer all your questions. He proved it the day before in the Senate, 6 hours of questioning, and he put up with it. And I think answered very clearly, whether they like the answer or not, he answered the questions. He said he would do the same. He gave Jerry Nadler and the key leadership on that committee the opportunity to come over and read an almost unredacted version, except for what, by law, he cannot let be read without redacting it, and that's the grand jury stuff. So everything else was going to be available, and Jerry Nadler and the Democrat leadership would not go over there and read it. So they wanted to have him come, and rather than asking questions, including the Republicans, they wanted the staff attorneys to ask questions. Well, that's saved for things like impeachment hearings and the like. That's not for the Judiciary Committee, made up of, I think, almost totally lawyers who sit on that committee, and if they can't ask questions as good as staff attorneys, then we have a problem. And I know the Republicans wanted to ask the questions, and Doug Collins, who's the ranking member, the Republican leader on that committee, just ripped into Jerry the day before yesterday.
Oh, that was good.
I don't know if you saw that.
I heard it, yeah.
Just very clearly showed what they were trying to do. It was not trying to do the work of the people. It was trying to do politics and impeachment-type appearances. So I think he was right in saying, no, I'll come over. Now, the one other thing your listeners need to know, you hear Democrats, and then they're just doing their talking points. They've got them out there, and so all of them are talking, even the Indivisible group back in the district. They read it, so they'll parrot it, even though they don't know for a fact that this is true. When we had the Kavanaugh hearing with Dr. Ford there, the decision was made to have an attorney ask the majority of questions. And why? Because it was supposed to treat a lady in front of this committee, primarily made up of men, give her a little bit of comfort knowing that it was a female attorney that had been asked and put in place to ask those questions. Questions would be proffered to that attorney by the senators if they wanted to. But it was done for that purpose, and it was also a confirmation hearing, And it was also based upon statements and challenges that have been made by Ms. Ford against the appointed or the nominated justice of the Supreme Court. So it's a total different ballgame that we're talking about here. This guy is an attorney general. He's already been appointed and nominated and confirmed, and he's in the job. And those type of people come in front of our committees, and we ask them the questions, just so like we asked Eric Holder the questions in front of our oversight committee when I sat on that one. We ultimately held him in contempt because he wouldn't submit information we requested at all, unlike what Barr has said. I'll give you all the information except the grand jury stuff, but by law, unless you change it, I can't give. So I hope your listeners hear that. It is a total different ballgame.
It's a good point.
From the Kavanaugh hearings.
Yeah. So, and that answered a question that I had. So that's great. So let me ask you this, Tim. If Nadler wants to see completely unredacted, is there a court order that he can get? Can he go to court and get that?
I don't think so. I say I don't think so because I don't know that for sure. All I know is that the general legal requirement is that when you have a grand jury, you're able to say to those that are appearing in front of you and being questioned, that we will give you the opportunity with a significant amount of immunity if you'll give us a full story. And for that, we will also promise that we're not going to release that information.
Okay.
I think there may be a few instances if it's for national security or if the person has done something that is like murder in the process.
I read a lot of the report, and I looked at what was redacted, held it up to light to see if I could see the print underneath the redaction, you know. But you could tell that it was mostly methods and means that was being redacted or particular names to protect people. But obviously right. You didn't want to say who your contact was that you got this information is at the Russian embassy because what? That's a source.
Yeah.
Well, it's a source. You have source and methods. But in a grand jury case, it's simply in order to get them to tell the truth and tell it without holding anything back as much as possible. That's the effort to try to determine. You will give them assurances that they will be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a matter of law. And Jerry Nadler, an attorney, he ought to understand that. This is just politics, again, trying to keep something going when the ultimate response, the ultimate result of the Mueller investigation was no conspiracy with Russia, no collusion, and no obstruction.
Can I ask a question?
Our matter of course for our law is you're innocent until proven guilty. Mueller, at the very least, and hear me when I say that, at the very least, I'm not saying that there was any more, but at the very least, they found nothing that would cause them to say you're guilty of something.
Can I ask you a question? Is eating fried chicken in front of all the rest of the members of Congress, does that violate any code of conduct?
In my book, it ought to.
Without offering enough to any, did you bring enough for everyone, young man?
If you eat fried chicken in front of me, I will hold it against you.
He should have brought it for everybody.
My
exactly.
wife wanted to know why the bucket said Kentucky Fried Chicken instead of KFC, because we never see Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets anymore. They always say KFC. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's a little advertising. I'm wondering if he got himself a nice big chunk of change out of that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. Well, so, Tim, let's kind of switch gears then here real quick. Infrastructure's coming. Have you heard anything about the deal that Pelosi and Schumer talked with the president about?
I haven't heard much other than $2 trillion price tag that was suggested for what they talked about. That's a concern. I mean, I think we have plenty of infrastructure needs, and I'm certainly willing to support moving forward on that, but I'm going to have to know. If it's $2 trillion, where do we get that, other than what we've been doing, printing money?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that's the way we ought to be doing it. So there are a lot of questions, but I'm thankful that there was not a blow-up that was postured like we saw the last time they got together in the president's office and just simply said, we're not going to give you any deal. Not even if it's $1. We're giving you nothing for the wall. And that was just a bad scene. But in this case, hopefully we'll find a way. I'm glad they're talking. The president's a deal maker. he's sure succeeding. I mean, how'd you like those economic reports yesterday?
Yeah, just amazing. And he's delivering, and all the pundits, and even CNN and MSNBC can't. There's not a whole lot they can complain about. Pelosi's trying, but it just comes off as cheap and shallow when she says the people aren't really feeling this. Yes, we are. We're employed. Yeah. We're making money. We're saving money. We're optimistic. I honestly feel it in a day-to-day existence of me. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling good.
We've got business, and we don't have people to I see work cells going empty because business is picking up, and we can't get enough people in to come in, you know, and work.
I met an architect last night at an event I was at here in the district who said, we've been thinking that there's going to be a slowdown, and we've been literally almost hoping for it because we're turning out down projects. We don't have the people to do it. Ourselves, we can't even do it, keep up with the projects that are being offered to us. I talked to contractors who are out there, and they're saying the same thing. One, we can't keep up with it. We also can't hire people to do the jobs. We can't find them. We're talking with truckers, trucking companies. They can't find truck drivers to transport the goods and services that people want to order. So it's a tough time, but it's a tough time from a lot of different perspectives. And what we talked about 8 years prior to this, the economy is going strong. 3.6% unemployment rate dropped again this past month. 3.2% GDP growth, which continues, which is putting us on track for an annual 4% average growth. Now, this is something that the past president said, Obama said, you'd have to have a magic wand to do this. Well, I guess the wand has been found. And the tax issue, as more and more people hear the answer as to why they didn't get as large of a return as they're used to, and it's not because they paid more taxes, it's because they paid less. There was less taken out of their paycheck, so there was no reason for them to have the large return. All of a sudden, people are saying, oh, I guess I am part of that 80% of the population that actually did see a tax cut to my pay.
So they lent less to the federal government during the last year. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So Tim, Gary from Hazel Park's got a comment for you about politics. Derek, I'm going to let you bring him in because I don't want to hang up on anybody. It's my luck today. Gary, you there?
Yes, sir. Hey, Representative Walbert, I've never met you, but I've heard you many times and I respect you. But my point is when you say, it's just politics up in Washington. I think it's a lot worse than that. I think it's like dereliction of duty and subverting the will of the people and outright lying. I mean, these people are out to do immense damage to my country, and I'm insulted by them.
Well, I appreciate that, and that tells me again that you didn't bring it to pass to have these people in office. But remember, they got elected, and they are in the majority. So the only thing we can say is that's what the people wanted. And from my place, I said I never wanted anything like this, so I don't feel like I'm wrong when I go against the majority will of the people that elected the majority in the House and oppose them at every stretch of the way except on things that we can support. But again, that's another example of why people have to think clearly when they vote, and they can't think populist. And that's what happened with a number of the referendum that we saw in this last election here in Michigan that we're going to pay for in significant ways for a long time to come. But these people, they think they have the will of the people because they are in the majority. AOC got elected in New York. Omar got elected in Minnesota. Tlaib got elected in the Detroit area. And so they're going gangbusters because they know that the 2 years that Trump had the control of the White House, the House, and to some degree the Senate, not much, but to some degree, he accomplished an awful lot that he wanted to get done, and he's continuing to do it. So I agree with you that they are not working for the best interest of the country, but they can legitimately say to me, hey, we're the majority. We got elected. The people put us in, and so it's the will of the people. I hope we can be better communicators, and in the next election, people say, no, not again. We're going back the American way.
Yeah. Great call, Gary. I appreciate it.
You know, I'd like to remark on something we've been talking about. And we talk about populist initiatives, the last vote, and we're talking about needing a workforce. And you mentioned trucking. And of course, I'm in manufacturing, and both fields are short of applications. And I think that's because a lot of people are doing recreational marijuana, and they know they can't get a CDL if they have THC in their blood. And we do, when we hire, we do tests, and we can't take people because of corporate policy who have THC in their blood levels.
Yeah, it's a conundrum. Right?
Yeah.
You're right. You know, we have 7 million jobs right now going wanting, 60,000 truck driving jobs going wanting. And you're not going to put somebody on a CNC machine, a laser cutting tool. You're not going to put them on even some of the robot areas. And you're certainly not going to put them in a truck or a forklift truck if they are testing positive to THC. So much liability could come there, and the fact of other employees that could be hurt as well, mm-hmm. or drivers on the road. So you're stuck. I mean, you want to hire the person. Just think of that forklift truck driver at one of your plants, who's a great worker, who doesn't miss work, who comes in all the time. But now the law goes into place in Michigan that you can legally smoke marijuana. So it's not against the law. It is against the federal law, but not the state. So you decide one weekend your friends are getting together, you're watching a Kentucky Derby or something today, and you decide to light up with your friends and smoke a toke. And that doesn't get out of your system for quite a few hours. You come back. And lo and behold, Monday morning, you get a unannounced
drug test.
Mm-hmm. And you are dirty, and yet you're a good employee, a value employee. But that plant manager or the owner of the company says, I love you, man. You're a great employee. I don't want to do this. But I can't keep you around. And the policy is you're fired if that's in your system.
You know,
here we lose a good employee because of a goofy law that was put in place that didn't stop and think, we need more people working than less. And
yeah.
Is recreational marijuana that important to you that you give up your livelihood for your family?
Yeah.
These are concerns that are out there, and we have to address those.
And I want to mention that it may not have been pot related, you may not have been high, but you may have had a high-low spill. You know, you're on a lift truck and you have a spill and something happens. In our plant, the rules say you have to go to the clinic. It's nothing personal, but there was an accident. You go to the clinic, and then they find out, oh, well, you tested. It's routine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tim, has there been any talk in the House at all about, is there a way to incentivize or put an additional incentive for businesses if they hire and train people? So you've got CNC, you've got laser, you got something that the average Joe can't do, but is there a way to incentivize businesses to
train.
Take that extra step and train
instead
somebody
of,
in?
Instead of the state government paying that out of our taxes.
Or instead of bringing in someone from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see more of our kids coming out of high school don't want to go to college because they don't need to go to college. Can they get training? Is there a way to get the businesses incentivized to pay for that training instead of it being on the government?
Yeah, there are already. We passed legislation 3 years ago that started that process, and then another in the last 2 years on career and technical education and incentivizing both the state by doing away with some of the mandates that we had on career and job training from the federal level, putting those back in the states, but also sending money, grant dollars, back to states, local communities in the form of, say, ISDs or community colleges. But there's also money in there for industry training opportunities. Last week, along that line, I questioned the Secretary of Labor, who is in front of us in the Education and Labor Committee, about moving the opportunity for the industry training programs, apprenticeship programs, etc., that would have the same requirements and waiver opportunities for employment as we have for the union apprenticeship training programs as well. And they are moving that direction so you can expand the opportunities with the great union shop programs that are already there, apprenticeship programs, to add that to some of your independent, say, for instance, electrical contractors, they have some great programs as well, but they don't have the same latitude for giving jobs to an individual who's undergoing that training at the same level of pay as it would be for a union apprenticeship program. So we're looking at all sorts of approaches to try to ramp up our ability to train people and give incentives not only to schools but also to businesses and industry as well.
Yeah, great. Hey, so Tim, Walter from Ipsy's got an energy question for you. Derek, you want to let Walter in?
All right, here we go. Buckle up. It's a loaded question.
What do you got, Walter?
Let's not live in la-la land. If I keep hearing these people touting how much independent, energy independent we are at this point, you know, all the oil we have, vast revenues of oil in this country, then if that be the case, why in the devil's hell is these gas prices so expensive?
Good question, Walter. Good question. What do you think, Tim? What's the reason?
Good question. Let's also stop and take a look at the gas prices in comparison to what they were 4 years ago and 6 years ago when they were up around $4 a gallon. Now we have a problem when we get up around $2.93 a gallon. What I paid today was $2.79, and then I saw them at $2.89, and I saw one closer to Jackson at $2.90. So these prices are high to some degree, but not what they were. And you know, if we had the full control without having a world market that we are committed to in contracts that have been paid, and just using our own and North American oil and natural gas too, let's pump that in there as well, it would be a different story. But I would say take a look historically, Walter, at the prices we were paying going above $4 a gallon. And that was before we allowed more exploration in Anwar and more drilling on federal lands where you could do that. As well as private lands. I think we are at a point right now where we are energy independent, and we also have the ability to say to other countries that we have been buying from and have contracts with, if you don't do certain things for us and do it right, we can go our own way.
Yeah. Great question, Walter. Thanks. I appreciate the call.
I think to some degree the sanctions on Iran are drying up the world market. We are self-sufficient, but there's other stresses. Other countries have to buy oil, and so they're going to suck our supply. So it's going to drive the price up. Venezuela.
Absolutely.
And of course, as we continue, I know there are a lot of people that want to put us through mass transit as opposed to having independent capability of ourselves of driving our own cars and our own trucks. I think more so it's SUVs and trucks that American people want.
Yeah.
Especially out here where we live.
Yep.
You're going to see some of those gas prices stay up, but it's a good thing that we still have control of the market and we've gained control there as well.
Great. Well, Tim, thank you so much for calling in and updating us, and we'll talk to you again next month, if not sooner.
Okay.
Have a great
one.
Thanks
for having me.
Thanks,
all right.
Tim.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And for everyone else, go to thedailydrift.com. It's the news
you need to know.
All right. We'll see you next week. Take care.